We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details. AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV, Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. The brother Chico Bean.
Yes, indeed.
You know my name.
I know your name, Chico.
That's
stop
good.
It, man.
Yeah, because the nigga downstairs called me Cisco Bean. I thought that was
no,
you.
No, man.
Yeah, swear to God, like, we got Cisco Bean down here. I'm like, nigga, who the fuck is Cisco Bean?
Y'all was in town for the We Didn't Want Us comedy tour. How that's going, man?
Oh, it's going smooth, man. It's dope. You know, we just did the Barclays last night. Mm-hmm. We did Memphis this weekend, mm-hmm. Biloxi. So it's been dope, man. It's been dope, especially in this time when all of the comedians
is beefing.
Yeah. It shows camaraderie that it's still love, and you know, it's dope, man. So
who's on the show?
A good time.
For people that don't know,
myself, Los, Fly, Lil Duval, D-Ray, Mike Epps, Mojo Brooks, and Moneybag Mafia do dates as well.
Oh, that's a nice balance. So you got the OGs, you got the now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They give you all a lot of game.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, we have relationships with these people already, being as though we work with them. But when you go on a tour, it's a different level of access that you get. You get to see how people move in a different capacity. So we learning a lot from, you know, like D-Ray and Mike and Duval and all that. And then they also are learning certain aspects from us, from the way that we move. Because, you know, all three of us come from doing this together all the time. So it's just certain levels of camaraderie they see amongst us that they get to learn, too. So it's a dope experience.
Hey, I want to know what's next for 85 South.
Man, stop talking to me like you don't know me, Jess. What the hell is wrong with you? I don't know what's next for 85. Nigga, get a job and act like. Let me tell you about Jess, man.
She's professional.
Let me tell you about it. Fuck that. I don't want to hear that. Let me tell you about Jess. Look, the day I buried my mama, right, I'm walking down the street. Somebody's like, Chico Bean. I'm like, hey, how you doing? She looked like, bitch ass nigga, you don't know who I am. And I looked and seen it was her. I'm like, oh, my bad. It was a long day. Fast forward, her and her friend get out the club drunk. They upstairs in my room. Eating my mama repay's food.
Oh, you said you didn't want it, y'all.
They was up there eating my mama repay. I don't even know she knew who died. She was like, I'm so sad about your sister. Can I get some more of that rice? Get some more of that rice, please. You want to talk about, I want to know what's next for 85 cents. We got plenty more to talk about. You've been letting people nutting you and all that. What's going on?
Because I'm pregnant.
I know. That's how it happens.
And ain't no people, nigga. It's one... Listen, it's my job. Don't play around with me.
That's who I want to get. Come on, Jess. You know what I mean? We too free. You got your nails done. It look like COVID tests on your fingers.
Period.
I love
always.
How you liking your new job?
I'm loving my fucking job.
Let's see, there you go. That's what I need. I need that type of energy. Don't talk to me like no white woman. What the hell wrong with you?
Yes, you can.
All right, let's try them all. Watch, every time I try, I tell these two niggas be up here. No, no, please, no. Like, they be scared. Like, I'm going to fight.
There's certain things we got to keep her away from.
Because she go too far.
I'm talking about they be talking over me, scared, sweating. I ain't never seen Charlamagne sweat.
I can't let her make
sweat.
The same mistakes I made, Chico.
Yes, you can. You don't mind nobody else making them, nigga, when you start being a good person. You and your bunk bed brother up here, that's why they scared. They think you going to fuck their relationship up. They scared you.
God.
They let you get comfortable. You going to fuck around the out that they go together up here, and that's going to be the
she
problem.
Gave she gave us the name.
That. She did that last year.
She gave us the names.
What name she gave you?
The Gusbins.
The Gusbins? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gusbins. Oh, yeah.
You did the bunk bed brothers.
Yeah. Yes, you know what I mean? Now y'all, you know what I'm saying, designer women. David Allen Greer and Gaming Wayans. That's who y'all is. You know what I'm saying? We up here.
All right, yo, so what y'all doing? What 85 South doing next?
We doing everything.
God damn.
We doing everything. You know, we got the tour coming up right after this tour over. Mm-hmm. We got the big business tour coming up. And then, you know, we got the studio in Atlanta. So, you know, we producing shows, you know, doing all the good stuff that you're supposed to do when you get the type of, you know, access that we got. Now, I'm more interested in knowing what made you want to get a job. I know you. Like, you ain't the 9-to-5 type person. What made you want to work?
That's a fantastic
question.
Listen. What made you want to work?
The fact that being on a platform like this do amplify everything I got going on. You know, I'm just because I'm pregnant now don't mean I ain't on no tour. You know, I'm looking forward to my special this year. This ain't my interview, but I'm telling you.
Man, whatever. Right, so, who the fuck cares? It ain't no interview,
real.
Nigga. I damn near work here,
all
too.
All right, so we came over here for a conversation. Yeah, this shit gonna amplify everything that I'm doing. And then I'm also a benefit to the show, too. And then always wanted to do this. I want not to really, like, do radio, but to have, like, this is a Hall of Fame show, yo.
Of course, this is huge.
This is a big opportunity for me, and it's like I look at it, like I said, in my mind, like a partnership. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it is.
I bring so much to this table, and at the same time, the things that I want to do, like sitcoms and movies and stuff that I'm actually writing and everything, I'm on one of the most listened, the most viewed, the world's most dangerous morning show. Like, it ain't nobody that's not listening. If they not, they gonna get on, you know, because my voice is up here now.
You
so.
You know what else I say, Chico? I remember back in the day, there was a period, and people probably don't remember this, but there was a time where it was like all the comedians got an opportunity to do some type of syndicated radio.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Steve ended up with the show.
D.L. Hughley.
Earthquake Ricky Cameron, Smiley.
Ricky Smiley.
But it was mm-hmm. also Monique had got an opportunity to do a syndicated show. I think Samoa and Cedric
I think Samoa had one.
But definitely D.L., Ricky, Steve.
Yep.
So to me, it's just the new generation of that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know what I mean? I definitely feel the same way. That's why they got me in Atlanta. I was mad about that, but just having the ability to be able to do this is difficult, because that's why I'm so proud of you, because getting up this early in the morning, this ain't your time.
Is she on time every day?
No.
That's good.
I really do be on time. Yo, when I was guest hosting, I wasn't. But
yeah,
I was
you wasn't getting
guest.
Paid. Yeah, no, yeah, dude, I wouldn't have came on time.
No makeup, like, getting dressed.
Nah. I'm
all
yeah.
good.
So she's an early bird, though.
Mm. No, she
I
not.
Am. But I be waking up, but I ain't never, like, get up to be nowhere.
Right, exactly.
I have to leave out the house at 5, like, between 5 and 5:15.
That's what it
you
is.
You know what I mean? And then still be pretty, and then come in here, and you know, good morning, I'm Jess Hilarious. Like, it's not just, it's really not as easy as people think it is. It's,
I already know. I talked to him when they was trying to give me the job in Atlanta for radio. Yep. He was like, nigga, you sure you want to do this? It's a lot to come with it. And, you know, I went to school for it, so I'm prepared for it, but still, it's a hell of a commitment to make.
Yeah.
So salute to you, Jess. And I don't know why y'all fake like she wasn't hired up here doing all that goofy shit on social media. Who I did was that? You ain't tricked me. I knew the whole time.
You knew what it
is for the door. I knew what it was, because Jess had a quinceanera when she was wearing a dress.
First of all, that was not my damn party.
Ain't nowhere in the world no black woman wasting no dress like that. Like,
that was not my party. That was a holiday party. And I had told my homeboy Dave, I was like, yo, I got it. And he went up there and said something. And then he was like, yo, you the third host, right? And I went up there and I was like, ah, damn, I'm not supposed to say that right now. But you know what? I'm gonna say it anyway. And I said it or whatever. So it wasn't my quinceañera, nigga.
Yes,
it was my party.
You wouldn't have wasted that dress. So, I know that.
I just be looking good anyway. Chico, stop acting like I don't be out here really putting on.
Woo. Listen, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I came up here for.
That's what I came up here for.
Y'all got my uncle up here acting like she ain't my uncle. Nigga, stop playing with me.
What the hell? But let me ask both of y'all comedians, because I didn't speak to Jess about this. With time so sensitive, right? Like, they were about to cancel Charlamagne for saying Big Back.
I've been canceled forever. I'm canceled. Yeah, I've been canceled. I'm a zombie.
Do you have to be extra careful when both of y'all doing comedy now, when y'all doing stand-up? Because everybody got a phone out. That's why Dave, everybody got to take their phone. And Chris, everybody got to take their phone. Do y'all are extra sensitive when it comes to people, because you know if you say the wrong thing or you offend the wrong person today, you're canceled tomorrow?
Well, like I say, it's maliciousness in my mind. If I'm not being malicious, then I can care less how somebody feels about something that I say. Now, if I'm being malicious, then of course I think that energy is going to cause you to have some backlash because you're just being mean. Mm-hmm. But if your back big and I say your back big, you got a big back.
What's mean now, though?
What's mean now? Because before you could say, you know, it's jokes. But now people take jokes as it's messing up my mental. I can't take it no more. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about it. But it's jokes. I mean, we've been all joked. You've joked on me. We joked on you. We joked on Charlamagne.
But everybody's not prepared to be able to have whatever their flaws are put out in front of the world. Mm-hmm. So you got to understand, like, when people hear certain things about themselves, they already have insecurities about whatever said thing is. And if you have the ability to point it out in a way where people are laughing at it externally, mm-hmm. that internal pain that they have is just going to come out. And now we live in a time where everybody has the access to be able to express themselves in a way that didn't exist 20 years ago. Yeah. So now if somebody was offended at a, you know, Dave Chappelle show in 1997, you had to write a letter, you had to go mm-hmm. get up out your bed and go stand in front of somewhere and protest. Now you got to do is have Wi-Fi. So it's just easier for people to be offended now. I think that's the thing. If you had to still be offended the old way, a lot of people wouldn't be as offended as they are about simple shit.
I want to ask the same thing.
Cause mm-hmm. How do you feel? Because you do stand up as well, and you go to the thing, and it's easy to get you because you're on the show.
Yeah, definitely. On the stage, I'm going to talk about any and everything. I don't care. I mean, because that's my safe place. And if you bought tickets to see me, you already know how my mouth is. You're setting yourself up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, especially. But I'm also not one of those comedians who crack on people in the audience or whatever. Now, if you heckling me and you happen to be big or ugly, or are you going to get that? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I talk about things that I can't talk about, of course, on the radio, and that I wouldn't talk about online just because I already know what mm-hmm. it's going to bring. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? But on the stage, it don't matter. I ain't going to take your phone. You can record if you want. That's my show. That's my mm-hmm. stage. The venue is like, that's mine at that point. So mm-hmm. y'all can feel how y'all want if y'all catch it at a show. But I'm not going to say it online. Gotcha. And I'm not going to say it on the radio.
Have you said anything you regret, Chico? I saw Jess was on the pivot. She said she regretted the Chadwick Boseman comments.
I know what I said, yo.
I'm just telling it for the audience that's listening.
Yeah, see, that's why you got to talk to these niggas the way you got to talk to them because they be slick.
Yeah, because Jess said that she do.
Yeah, because Jess be doing it. You got to they be slick. They be trying to get away with shit, man. You got to check them every time. But no, you know what I mean. You know what I'm lying. I regret some of the things I said about your skin. That was wrong. I regret some of those things, man. You know what I mean? Because I don't want him to get stressed out and wake back up with the, you know, the Hamburglar circles around his eyes again. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't want him to have to go through that. And I know that was a rough period where you having to sit under that machine and get cooked every day. And I just was just coming in here making fun of you and all of that. And DJ,
I regret
some of the things I've said about you too, man. You know what I mean? I said you was out here allegedly selling halfway houses, and that's not fair. That's not fair that I even would say something like that about you. You're a good person, and most people don't know that. So I just want to apologize
most
to both of y'all.
You know what I mean?
And out in y'all relationship like that. Like, don't nobody know y'all sleep naked together in between breaks. So, I mean, those things are things that I regret. So, yes, I apologize to both of y'all.
Thank you. Thanks, Chico.
Your apology is accepted.
No problem. How has shit changed since y'all went number one on Netflix?
It hasn't.
Really?
Nah, not in the way that you would think that going number one on the Billboard would, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Did you have an expectation once you saw that?
Like, no, mm-hmm. I don't think we had an expectation because we are independent. So mm-hmm. it's just certain things that come with, you know, being independent. So it's, you know, it gave us a level of visibility that we didn't have. Like, I went to Ghana, you know, I was in Ghana, like, the recognition that I got when I was over there, a lot of that came from that being available. Mm-hmm. But as far as us being in a position where, like, now we number one and, you know, we got to, you know, start doing things differently, or now we get to work less because mm-hmm. it's made things easier mm-hmm. for us. Nah, that hasn't happened. We're appreciative of it, but we still got the same drive that we had before it happened.
So no Hollywood came knocking anything like that?
Nah, I don't even know what you mean. The way you asked that question, I know it's a follow-up question coming out. There's too much going on. I know you,
Hollywood
man.
Wow. Yeah.
Hollywood ain't come knocking. You already know. You ain't get invited to that 1 o'clock party.
Did he ask you to host
it? See, I told you. I told you. I knew it was coming, man.
Four
I know this nigga.
If you're in three movies, whatever. If you're in three movies, or
oh,
yeah, I knew it was coming. Now you won't trick me up here, man. I'm too prepared for y'all, man. And I know you ain't asked me about a nigga y'all still got a picture of in the hallway. Like, y'all tripping.
Hey, listen, I feel like you cannot. Number one, it's all allegations. Number one.
Right.
And
that's
number
very
two,
true.
You still can't take away what people did.
Like, I mean,
like,
hey,
come on, man. What are you supposed to do? Stop listening to Bad Boy Records?
I mean, hey, I went through this with the other one. I don't even know if we can say it. Since
R.
They
Kelly?
You said it. So, yeah. You know what I mean? We went through the same thing with, because, you know, I always ask people, when it come to that, the age ain't nothing but a number come out before I Believe I Can Fly. It did. Yet mm-hmm. I still sung I Believe I Can Fly my elementary school graduation.
Mm. Yeah.
So who was responsible for letting kids all across America sing a song in churches and schools that was written by a man who was allegedly married to a 14-year-old girl and made her sing the song?
Mm.
So, you know, you just think about the way that people, you know, can be offended now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's to a point where we don't know how to separate our lives from the celebrity of people. Like, I don't have time to worry about anybody else's problems because I got my own. So that's what I focus on. But music is music. People's art is people's art. And people, you know, always ask me when I talk about this, like, I talk about it on stage and people be like, well, what if that was your daughter? I said, well, if it was my daughter, she wouldn't have been in no grown man house without me doing the motherfucking thing. Like, I'm not sending my daughter to no grown man house to do nothing. Yeah. For whatever reason, I don't care how good she sing or how good he can produce beats or whatever. I'm not doing that. So I think that it's a, you know, just a character flaw that we have as a people where we just get so invested in everybody else because it gives people the opportunity to deflect what they need to do in their own lives to make themselves better. You know what I'm saying?
Same thing with the Cosby Show. I mean, the Cosby Show has inspired a lot of black people to go to college, inspired a lot of black people's family life, but they took it off air because
And it's just art. Like, that's art. Now, in the case of R. Kelly, I understand because a lot of his art bled into his music. But I think what you just said is true, Chico. It's not like people didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, people definitely knew what was going on. I mean, and not only did they know, it was a tape. Like,
that's
a
right.
whole tape
right.
surface. Like,
right.
I mean, and not only did we know, we laughed about it. Like, you remember Dave Chappelle, see, rolling around, sitting on dubs, can't cause I was high on shrubs, cruising in my Escalade. Damn, I'm paid, I got it made. Take me to your special place. Turn around, show me your face.
Okay,
right.
All right.
I'm gonna piss on it. Like,
right.
that was a...
The Boondock episode.
That
see,
that's
that
what
hit.
I would stop Jess. See, I would stop Jess right there.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like,
we
these
all
are
made
things.
R. Kelly jokes.
We
yeah.
all talked yeah. about yeah. it, so I just think that the timing, you know, everything is timing. You gotta think about it like this. The Etch-A-Sketch was the iPad. At one point. So the way technology moves, everything is progressing in a way
right.
that, you know, it's going to make whatever it was that was the old God irrelevant. And it's not going to take anywhere near as long now because how fast things move. So mm-hmm. you got to just be careful with what you do now, but you don't need to, you know, I don't think as long as you're not knowingly hurting yourself or anybody else, man, do what you want to do out here.
And yeah. by the way, we was making jokes about Diddy way before all of this happened. Partying mm-hmm. jokes about Diddy since he did the interview on Drink Champs with Nori.
That, yeah.
And he was like, we ain't party.
Party.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
We've been making those jokes.
And I think yeah. that y'all two are great people to speak on that because y'all done been famous way longer than me and Jess
yeah.
has. You know what I mean? DJ Envy, you done been at the party for a long time.
I never party though.
What does that mean?
I don't know. But
you gotta know
but
what
but
it means.
Diddy said you didn't party with him. I didn't party.
But what's the second party?
I don't know.
But don't skip that.
I've been to that party.
Like,
only been to the
don't
first
skip
party.
That. Like, this nigga, who you, Jess, why you be letting these niggas get away with this shit? How much are they paying you, man?
I know, they paying me a lot, yo. But not
what
I'm saying is, like, no, that's funny that you said that because the other day, one of them, Envy had asked Charlamagne, he was like, did anybody ever try to, like, do something to you or make a pass at you, like, you know, to be famous, something like that. And he stood up like, yo, stop playing. He came with that energy like it may have happened.
No,
and then
I
he
didn't.
Stood up and he was like, well, we can go new for new because he was like, yeah,
no,
you
I
know,
said new
you
new
know
new.
What I know.
Yeah, because they
know
like, I know you ain't been cheating on me.
But ain't nobody say nothing. And I was quiet because I was waiting for something to come out. But, you know, they smart. They've been doing this for a lot of years.
They've been doing
it way longer than me. And he came up in New York in the 90s.
What that mean?
You know what that mean.
What it mean?
New York in the 90s was the Wild Wild West. Just go listen to the lyrics. Bro, go listen to the lyrics.
I was only like
12.
I was only like 12, 14 at that age. I wasn't that old at that.
That was a nice ripe age.
No, that was the age. Yeah, you know what I mean.
What did you mean, Clue?
Clue's my neighbor. He lived across the street from me.
I ain't not asking no details. I said, when did you meet him?
In the 90s.
All right. So how old was you?
I don't know. Why?
See, now you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Why?
Yeah, I mean, but you got to understand, his name DJ Envy, man. You know how Envy is, man. Envy is very sensitive. I think he picked that name because the nigga beat him in the DJ competition in the third grade, and he still ain't got over it yet. He could have been DJ Experience or DJ Popularity.
That's right.
DJ anything. He chose DJ Envy just to let you know what type of time he on, man.
Are you going to do a solo special?
Yeah, I mean, eventually, you know, I mean, that's like I said, I've never been one to rush that type of, you know, thing because, you know, your art is your art. And, you know, I always move at my own pace, you know what I'm saying? And I think that now with the ability that people have to just put things out, you know, I think that we've lost a lot of substance in that regard, you know what I'm saying? And, and I feel like whenever you put something out, these bodies of work will live forever. So I want to have one of them ones where when you look at it now, and whether you look at it now or you look at it in 10 years, it still resonates. You know, the Mike Epps, Underrated, Never Faded. You know what I mean? The Corey Holcomb, the, you know what I mean? You the Problems, the, you know, Earthquake About Damn Times. Dave Chappelle's Killing Them Softly. You know what I mean? These are specials that are timeless to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when I watch those are the things that I base it on. And I never really had the desire to just say, I'm going to do it just so I can say I got that notch under my belt. Because like I said, we live in a different time now. It's not even as necessary as it was back in the day. You think 20 years ago, everybody wanted to be on HBO. Now it's Netflix. So it's just a matter of you finding the pocket that you need to be in before you put something out to the world. Because I feel like you can damage yourself a whole lot more with the level of criticism that can come with I don't even want to say criticism because I don't want to make it seem like it's a negative thing, but just the level of access that people have to be able to look at something and move right on to the next thing. It's very difficult to get somebody to sit with a piece of work and just really understand and sit with it. So my mentality is always make sure that by the time I get it, it's a body of work that is going to live forever. So, you know, I don't even know if
I be thinking about like the energy of stand up. Like I like going to pay to go see a stand up show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, the people that pay to go see a stand up show, they're actual stand up fans.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm watching it on TV nowadays, I don't get that same energy no more. Like when I see somebody do a stand up special, I like what y'all did with the 85 South show live because I'm used to that energy. I'm used to watching y'all do the podcast every year.
Mm-hmm.
So my mind is kind of conditioned for that as opposed to conditioned to watching somebody just
Why
on
do you
stage
think
telling
that is?
Jokes. I don't know. Maybe this is the era we live in.
Yeah,
I
think that you got it right. I mean, you think about celebrity and what it is. Like, I talk to people now who I grew up watching, you know what I'm saying? And having these conversations, one of my first line of questioning is, what was it like to be famous for real? Because now the access that we have to people, if I was the biggest Martin fan in the world, like, I love Martin. But if I wanted to talk to him, I would have had to write a letter, send the letter off, hope somebody got the letter, wrote me a letter back. The process was way longer. So it was a disconnect that is not there now. Somebody want to talk to me or Jess or you, or, you know what I mean? All they got to do is pick their phone up and go on a picture I posted and say whatever it is they feel. So the access is
different.
Completely different. So now when you think about somebody coming to see you, they feel like they already know who you are based off of your social media. You know what I mean? They know the food you eat. They know what you wore yesterday. So when they come see you live, the energy that you're supposed to give or get, you got to make sure that you give that in a way where people are feeling like they're getting something that they can't get from any of the other platforms that we have to make people feel like they know us.
That's but also what makes y'all different to me is y'all do like raw on the spot comedy. That's different. You don't get to see that neither. And like, I don't care. There's no other stand up special on Netflix, HBO that I've seen in a long ass time where it's like y'all three niggas, like y'all just, it could be like 40. If y'all can go to a parade, y'all don't even know what y'all going to talk about.
Not at all.
And it's on the spot comedy is raw. It's like, that's what make, honestly, wilding out fun.
Right.
Watching y'all just pick people and then the chemistry y'all bounce off of each other. It's like, I don't know. That's different.
Yeah,
especially in this time. Y'all don't care what y'all say.
No, and that's the reason why is because we understand that it's never been done before in the way that we're doing it. You see now with the climate of comedy and the way that all of the OGs are beefing and going back and forth. Like, we need Batman out this bitch now the way these niggas is going back and forth. But one of the things that I think is the case. And Lo said this to me years, used to say this years ago all the time, because he's the, you know, our elder in the, as far as the group, he's the OG amongst us. He was like, man, these niggas don't like each other. They hate each other. They can't stand each other.
So why do you think it's bubbling now, though?
I mean, because, you know, once Cat came out and did that interview, it just shook the game up. It was just one of those things that shook the game up. You know what I mean? I think that, you know, truth is subjective. I say this all the time, because what's true to you is a lie to somebody else. Mm-hmm. But if somebody tells their truth, all of the people that he was, you know, speaking on, they received that and they had, you know, it's like this is backroom, you know, green room comedy talk that was, you know, gave to the world. So once that happened, now you got these backroom conversations that have been happening for years. Now you got them coming to the forefront. So all of these conversations that these people probably have been having in green rooms since the early 90s, now it's like, all right, well, nigga, all right, well, fuck you. Well, fuck me, fuck you too then. And, you know, now I think that's just what happened. But I mean, for as far as we go, our generation, we love each other. Like, we really got genuine love for each other.
But does it help or does it hurt? Does it push you to be better, or does it say, F the comedy game because I can't work with this person?
No, we don't have that element. You know, we don't have that element, at least not that I've experienced. You know, I'm sure there's probably some people who don't get along or don't like each other. But like I said, it's too easy to get in contact with somebody now. If I had a problem with somebody in 1995, it might be a little difficult for me to get a number on them or get in contact with them. Now, if you got a problem with somebody, it's very easy to get in contact with them. So I don't think we even had that element. There's the level of disconnect between artists has shrunk so much that our generation, we really, you know, we really fuck with each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is my uncle. Like, I love her to death. You know what I'm saying?
Without question. Why do you say that, man?
Because the way she treat me. She treat me like an uncle. Like, every time I see her, she cuss me out like an uncle and all that. Like, it's genuine, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I love Jess. Like, we all do. Because we came up together. You know, we all was broke together trying to figure this thing out. And I don't think a lot of them had that same element. When they was all broke, they was all trying to get the same spot. We know now that there's more spots available than just one. You see that with the 85 South show. It's three people who are now on a tour with the We Them Ones tour, all individually doing sets, all coming out by ourselves, all, you know, got our own face up on the screen like everybody was aspiring to do in the 90s. But now we are able to do that and then double right back and come on stage together and then double right back and go do a wilding out and then double right back and, you know, meet up with Jess and do something with her, because it's, we realize now the opportunity is there to do whatever it is you want to do. You don't have to all fight for that one spot. But I think that's what causes the OGs that had a problem. They still fighting for a spot that really don't even exist no more.
But it's so weird to me because all of them making money. All of these people we talking about.
I mean, that's what you assume. Well, you know what I mean? You never know. You know what I mean? You got to know the reality of how the game work. You never know what... You can make money, but I don't know how many people are able to keep it. You know, that's the hard part. Keeping the money is the hard part. You can make it all day, but you never know how people feel about the fact that an opportunity, let's just say figuratively speaking, I wanted this job and just got it. Like, that could be a grudge. That's, you know, it can be held against her for years without her even knowing that a nigga mad at her. But once it come out, you know what I mean? That's, I think that's the way that they operated back in the day for some reason. Now, I've been blessed in the game where most of my OGs and the people that I've met have embraced me. But I've heard horror stories because, you know, they got that old guard. You know, they feel like, oh, if I embrace you or give you some love, then that mean that I'm going to diminish my light and my star. So we don't really have that type of interaction with each other amongst our generation, because I think that we know that, you know, it ain't going to do you no good to be beefing like that. Now, mind you, seeing the OGs go back and forth has been interesting just because I'm still a fan. I mean, I've been watching y'all niggas since I was a little boy. So now I'm like, ooh, you ain't never liked him. Man, you know what I'm saying? So I can't lie about it being interesting, just being a part of the game. But, you know, I don't think that it's good for us. It might work for them. But I think the Internet, the combination of the way the Internet has changed things, like, I don't think that they really embraced it, a lot of them really embraced it in a way that where it's not detrimental. So now you got all this access and you feel like you got to let people into a space. If you've been famous since the 90s, like, you know what I mean? Right. You can hold secrets a lot more. I know you know Envy, you know what I'm saying? You've been to the second party.
You've been to the second party.
The first party, the party was cool, but that party. I don't know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. It's harder to keep that secret now, man.
How'd you feel when Cat Williams shouted you out?
You know what's crazy, man? My daughter, man, salute to my baby who has
her
had a promotion, who has her YouTube channel that she just started, man. So I gotta plug that, man. My baby done started her YouTube channel. I'm so proud of her, man. So make sure you subscribe, Pierce Chanel. But I was in Africa. I was in Ghana when the interview came out. This is how goofy my daughter is. Like, I'm in Africa, and, you know, my first thought when I seen it, I was like, man, hope this nigga don't say nothing about me. Because, you know what I mean? Once I seen what he was saying, because, you know, over there, the internet access is different, so I couldn't really watch it. So my daughter FaceTimes me. She like, Daddy, you seen the Cat Williams interview? I was like, I seen clips of it, baby. She was like, you know he said your name.
Your heart dropped.
I said, what'd he say? She said, find out when you get back to America. And I'm on the phone up there.
That was a good tease. That was a good tease.
And you over there,
I'm like, listen, man. I'm like, yo, what did he say? But then my manager, man, she sent me the clip, and I seen it. You know, it was a positive thing. And I was thankful and grateful because, you know, the first time I met Cat was at a Wild 'N Out show in Las Vegas. We had when we was on one of the first Wild 'N Out tours. And prior to him coming to Wild 'N Out, to actually do the show, which was just last year, when we first got on, because, you know, we was the, you know, the reincarnation of the show when it came back in 2013. And when I tell you, from our first season probably all the way up to, like, our fifth or sixth season, they was talking about Cat like this nigga was the boogeyman. Like, every time, Cat might be coming. Cat, remember when Mad Dog was coming on Martin? Like, that's how they would talk about Cat. Like,
we're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future. Building off the hard work our parents have done before us, we all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million black businesses initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
All right, if you come in here, don't be afraid and don't be. So I'm like, man, what is this nigga going to do? Like the way that the perception was just like this nigga was just going to come in and kill everybody. But, you know, and that kind of, I would say, built up a level of, you know, nervousness about actually interacting with him because the way that the narrative was being said about him. Mm-hmm. But me being the type of person I am, after a certain point, I was just like, man, whatever, you know, whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. Mm-hmm. So by the time we actually met, he came to the, this is right after he won the Emmy. So this, you know, I'm hearing stories about him in the building because we doing an arena. So I'm hearing stories. Cat showed up with the Emmy and the Louis Vuitton bag. Cat was smoking 2 cigarettes at the same time. And it was just like, man, where is this nigga? I got to find him and, mm-hmm. and say hello. So I, my creative process, I walk around and talk to myself and get my jokes together. I don't really write shit down. So as I'm on one of my missions, get my shit together, it seemed like he was on the same one. And I ran into him. And I was like, hey, man, Cat, how you doing, man? My name Chico, man. It's a pleasure to meet you. He said, nigga, don't disrespect me. Everybody knows you. And walked away. I was like, oh. I don't know if that was a good or positive interaction or not, but, you know, that's what it was. And then we ended up having a conversation sitting outside of the hotel. He just happened to be walking his dog, and I talked to him, and this nigga's brilliant. And he showed nothing but love. He was gracious in every aspect and letting us know that, you know, letting me know at that time how much of a fan he was and how much he appreciated what I had brought to the show and the elements of the show that, you know, I reminded him of himself at that time. Mm-hmm. So just like I said, I've been blessed in the game that when I've met the OGs, they've embraced mm-hmm. me. You know what I'm saying? So being as though he did that interview, I just look at it like he told his truth. Mm-hmm. Whatever you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You tell your truth, people are going to receive it whatever way they receive it, but he told his truth, man. So, you know what I mean? I think that it was good for the game in that regard, but it was bad for the game in regards to the way it set fire mm-hmm. up under the OGs.
Have any comedians like ever stolen your jokes? Not just jokes nowadays. You got a podcast. Mm-hmm. And you do interviews. So they hear your POV. Mm-hmm. And you might be saying some funny shit just talking. Has anybody ever taken that?
Yeah, you see people make memes and all that type of stuff. But, you know, I look at it like, if you steal something from me, that means that's the best you can do. It's not the best I can do. Mm. You know what I'm saying? If you take something, you can, you know, it depending on who it is. Now, if it's somebody that I have a relationship with or that I know, then we got a problem because you blatantly being disrespectful. But I've seen people do my stuff all the time, but it don't bother me because I'm not restricted to that joke that you took. Right. It was just a part of what it is that I, you know, have experienced. And then the type of person that, you know, the way I've learned the game is, nigga, you do my shit, I'm going to go up right behind you and do it the way it's supposed to be done. Mm-hmm. So it's just a way of looking at it. But I don't think that, you know, that's something that would bother me because, you know, I'm really on stage telling my truth. That's one thing I love about Jess's stand-up. Like, Jess, we did a show. What was that, in Vegas? We did that show together at the Mirage.
We
co-headlined the show at the Mirage. And you can just tell that, you know, that was my first time seeing Jess perform in a while. But just her freedom on stage. You can't be just hilarious. You know what I mean? Even if you take it, you can't do it like her because this is her real life she's talking about. So it's the same way with me. Like, you can say some shit I said, but you ain't live it like I lived it. So it's not going to hit the same.
Right. That's right.
That's what I'm excited to see. Like, cause you were doing stand up for a while, but you saw how things changed once the podcast took off. Mm-hmm. So people could tune into you every week. Right. That's what I'm excited about. Even with Jess, I want to see how like the people react that come to see her stand up now because they hear her every morning.
Yeah, I mean, all the way. And I know she's going to have a lot to talk about being up here with y'all.
Oh,
like,
my God.
This type of shit you going to see up here.
You know what I'm writing.
Wait till you see them praying naked. Like, that shit crazy.
That don't happen.
Yes, they listen, I heard the story. It's an allegation. Allegedly, man. But
allegedly.
They get butt naked and pray in the morning. You know what I mean?
That is disgusting.
Yeah, see, that's what they say. That's what they say y'all do. I don't know who they is, but
they,
it's the same person that threw the second party. You know what I mean? That's who made that up. You know what I mean?
I don't know nothing.
Is your daughter telling you what she wants to do?
Yes.
In her future?
Yes, all the way.
How old is she?
She's 15.
15 now. Damn.
Yeah, she's getting up there, man. Mm. But she's very, very, you know, very clear about the things she wants to get into. And, you know, for me, it's an honor to be able to provide her with the level of opportunity that I never got because I didn't have my father. My father was gone. So there's a 50% of a helpmate that I never got to receive. So it brings me joy to be able to help her skip a lot of the parts of the game that I knew that, you know, I had to go through just because I didn't know no better. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm her springboard. Like, stand on my shoulders, baby, so you can see better. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's what I'm doing this for. And the fact that she is, you know, wants to be in the entertainment and wants to be, you know, an actress and all of those things. Like, it helps me to know that I'm doing the thing out here that can help her get past just on namesake. You know what I mean? When mm-hmm. she show up, the fact that she is who she is going to mean something. That brings me the greatest joy because I know that if I would have had that, then I probably would have been able to get to the greatness a whole lot quicker than I did having to figure it out and create my own blueprint without help. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So she's really, really excited about her YouTube. You know, we had talked about it. And like I said, I don't lie to my daughter. We keep it, you know, we have conversations that are direct. I know people say you're not supposed to be friends with your child, but I think that's another old mentality.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Gonna,
I think that's an old narrative because if you're not, you got to think about the access that these kids have now and the things that they are up against. Like I wasn't, when I was her age, I didn't have to compete with every other 15-year-old's highlight reel.
Damn.
You know what I mean? I didn't have to compete with their highlight reel. I didn't have to go on a device and be able to mm-hmm. see what all the niggas on the other side of the city was doing and all the niggas that went to every school was doing. Mm-hmm. So they under a different level of pressure. So you got to make sure that you, in my opinion, you got to make sure that you are at a point with your children where they're not afraid to let you know what's going on.
That's right.
When you're not around and when you're not looking, because they open to a whole different level mm-hmm. of criticism
yeah.
than we are, you know.
That's
so
right.
Once I had the conversation with her about what comes with what it is that she wants to embark upon, mm-hmm. I was able to see that she has a genuine understanding of it because of the way and the level that we communicate on. She's not afraid to tell me what she's really feeling. And, you know, that's a blessing, too, because when I was her age, like, for example, baby, don't be mad at me for telling this story, but I got to tell it just to, you know, give context. you know, she had a boyfriend, you know what I mean?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, a little nigga, 6'6", 220, 15 years old, star football player.
Eh.
Yeah.
So you scared of him a little bit.
You got me fucked up, DJ Envy.
You got me fucked up, Slim.
I ain't scared of nobody. I mean, except right. for the second party. I'm scared of that. But I am terrified of the second party. Let's just get that out there while we up here. But, you know, she wanted, you know, he came over to the house and they baked cookies and, you know, was down in my, you know, theater room watching TV. You know, I got cameras all in my house or whatever. So, you know, I can see what they was doing. And the most egregious thing that this 15-year-old boy did was just rub my baby a little too affectionately. Now, mind you, just out of protocol, I got on the camera like, hey, fuck y'all down there. Hey. I can see y'all, nigga. Hey. And that's exactly how they look like. Nigga, what? Is the guard? I'm like,
wow.
Yeah, I can see y'all. What is y'all doing? But,
damn.
You know, in reality, I was proud of the fact that I know that this little girl is a better human being than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because at 15 years old, if Wanda, God rest her soul, would have had cameras in her house, she'd have went to jail. She would have went to jail for the shit that I was doing in her house at 15 years old. Because the way that our minds worked at that time, we were so much more advanced with shit because we actually had to go outside and be amongst the elements.
That's right.
We had to be amongst all of the things that were going on in our environment. So it caused us to mature so much faster in real time. They have the same level of access, but it's just on the phone. So they have a better ability to be able to make the decision. You know what I mean? It's a clear decision for them. It wasn't a clear decision for me and Jess generation because we were just like, I feel like this is what I got to do because I'm by myself and the door closed. Now they get to make a decision and say, okay, is this right or is this wrong to do in a way that we never got the opportunity to do. So to see my daughter make the right decision made me proud to know that, okay, she's a better person than I am, because ain't no way in the world. Ain't no way in the world, man.
What is this, second generation internet people?
Maybe third? I would say third. Yeah.
So even with y'all, y'all didn't realize that the internet was going to have the consequences.
That it did, yeah.
The people's futures that it does now.
Mm-mm.
So they even, your daughter, my daughter, they got to look at it totally different now, too.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy part is I'm still using the internet the same way I did when it first came out. Porn. That's all I mean. Yeah. Pornography. That same. Was it. It just now I just ain't got to get off the phone to watch it. Cause that's you know what I'm saying. Like you used to have to get off the phone to use the internet back in the day. Now it's just accessible. But you know, I think that forward thinking, like now it is what it is. But in 10 years, what is it going to be? You know, I don't know if y'all seen that Apple Vision that came out. Y'all used it. Yeah, I got one of those.
Don't disrespect me.
You say what? Why you say that?
I don't know.
Because you're sitting there with a ThinkPad and not an Apple computer.
Everybody
know what the Apple Vision ThinkPad.
No, they don't. Yeah, that's what I just realized that he got that old ass computer, Jess.
That's what I said.
Good job.
A lot of good luck on this computer. A lot of good data. This, I had this for 14 years.
You had that computer for 14 years.
They ain't selling them now.
Since we started,
boy, I know.
She said they ain't selling them now.
Now, hell no, they ain't selling them now. Unless you go to a pawn shop. That's what it is. Yeah, for real. I know. Boy, you talking about secrets. Ain't no telling what's in that computer.
Go in his history, see what he looked up.
I'll show you some stuff. It's crazy. It is kind of crazy.
No, I don't want to see it. Man. No, see, that's why he say stop. Look, he's like,
it reminds me, when I first moved to New York, what was I on? And I can see it just by looking. I'll show you. I'll show you after the interview.
No, don't show me after the interview. Don't worry. I want to see DJ Envy naked, nigga. That's nasty.
So back to your Apple Vision.
Yeah. But, you know,
a lot of Michael Kors bags. I'll tell you that much.
For real.
Stop it, Missy.
Michael Kors.
Get him in trouble at home.
Yeah, you was at the outlet for sure.
No.
They don't even sell the bags in the real store. You had to go to the Tanger outlets to get them Michael Kors bags. That's crazy.
But you were talking about the Apple Vision.
Oh, yeah. You didn't have it. You didn't have Apple Vision. You had Michael Kors Vision. That's what you had. But no, I say that to say it's a dope, you know, look into the future, because you put this on your face and it's your phone on your face.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everything that you can do on your phone, you can do on this machine, and you can walk around with it on. The only thing is now, you know, it's so expensive that you're just going to look like an asshole walking around with it on.
But
the reality is, this is the future. Like, this is the beta version of this machine. Mm-hmm. So this is basically the Nintendo of the future.
That's right.
So you think about what the Nintendo was versus what the PS5 is.
Right.
So by the time, you know, our kids get to be our age, this shit is going to be irrelevant. Like, you know what I mean? It's going to be an heirloom. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be an ancient item. Like, oh man, I remember I had one of them big bulky ass things. By the time, you know, in 10 years, it's going to be something you can just sit on your face and walk around with and talk to people everywhere.
Literally.
You know what I mean? It's crazy how much technology has advanced just in our lifetime, you know what I'm saying? So I just had the foresight to know that if you ain't got access to your kids, man, they gonna have way more access to do shit that, you know, could potentially damage them, because, you know what I mean, you got these kids now. I ask teachers all the time when I be doing shows, like, you know, what's the craziest thing you've seen in the classroom? Because I remember how wild we was, and they was just like, man, you know, they sending naked pictures and videos and all of that type of stuff, and it's just like, you know, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, that sound crazy now because they doing it. But imagine if we had the internet in the 2000s. You know what I mean? Ain't no telling. Jess, if you had the internet in the
2000s. What?
I'm asking. See, that's what I mean. That let me know what type of time you was on. You was in Baltimore eating crab cakes. And I already know what time it would have been. Because I might have came to see you in 2007 if I'd have known, you know, what I know now.
But you've been bluffing for years. So
ain't nobody been bluffing.
You became my nephew, and that's it.
Ain't nobody been bluffing.
Anyway, how's your love life?
Ain't nobody been bluffing. Don't
how's
do that,
Jeff.
How's yours?
I'm good. I'm pregnant, and I'm happy now. So, what's up?
I mean, I don't understand why you coming at me like that. Like,
was
what is it that you're basically... No.
He was scared.
What was I scared of?
I don't know.
What was I scared of? Tell me what I was scared of. I don't.
It wasn't even that he was scared. He just wasn't with it. Like, when I first got the Wildin' Out, I was like, oh my gosh, I like this nigga. He quiet and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, he ain't all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he ain't wildin'.
Pick it up, pick it and kill it. Whatever that shit is.
That wasn't even out when I first got there. That was the later game.
That was the later game.
Yeah, so... I tried to throw some game on him, but he was like, oh, don't you have a boyfriend? I'm like, who the fuck be worried about that? You know what I mean? Me. Like, who? Yeah, right.
I come from out the ghetto. Niggas will kill you by the Jess Hilarious in my hood. You know what I mean? But I don't play them games.
My boyfriend, he wasn't that type of nigga. So that's the
what
thing.
What type of nigga was he?
That's why, I did. That's why I was going at chick. I'm like, okay, now you cool. You know
he
what I'm
quiet,
saying?
He quiet, he low.
Right. But he really, like, funny. Like, he down to earth. Just, I'm like, all right, cool. So I told him that I broke up with him. I told him that I broke up with my boyfriend.
Did you really do it? You lied.
Then be.
Okay, I'm sorry. Game.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm
did I lie? Yeah. I did. I let like a week go by and I was like, what's up now? We broke up. I was acting sad and everything. I was like, I'm like sad. Like, what's up now? He was like, you didn't break up with him. Like, no, you didn't. And I didn't, but I'm like, this nigga gay. Like, how you not?
You see how fucked up that is? You see that fucked up?
Because he wasn't interested.
Just because
he gotta be
you don't
gay.
Want that pussy, yeah. I don't want none. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy.
I was like, all right, he just gonna be a brother at this point. Cause
yeah,
this is
because you gotta
trying.
Understand, you know I gotta be very selective with any woman I deal with because of the perspective that I have and how I live. You're not about to come at me, not saying that you would have did this, but I know you would have just because I know you who you are. You just that type of person that you're going to flash out, but you're not going to be the only woman that I'm dealing with.
Damn. Right, and that's
so
and that's
I have to be very, very careful with who I let into the way that I operate. Like I say all the time, I make the outside of my house ugly. Because if you can't get, I'm going to leave with all of the shit that you're going to judge a man on. I'm going to let you know these things about me immediately. So you got a choice to make. Yeah. But when you can see the type of person that a person is, I'm like, just ain't nobody about to be fighting with you at the Cheesecake Factory because you mad about the fact that I done did something that I told you I was doing. Like, she's the type of motherfucker that's going to act like you ain't never told her that shit. Like, I know what you said, bitch, but I wasn't listening.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? You know. It just wouldn't have worked. But don't make it seem like I was scared. Because I wasn't. I mean,
I want to know how Jess kicks game. How does Jess kick game?
Man, she offered you crab legs, Baltimore like, shit. You want to go get some crab legs? You want to go get some crab legs and listen to some house music?
No,
that's what you
want to
do? I got this special butter I make. I make this special butter. I put a little bit of cream cheese in it so the butter lasts longer.
No,
you want
to
eat some crab legs? You want? It wasn't even real game. She acted like she came up to me and offered me a Michael Kors bag. She ain't come up. And do no shit that was that impressive. She was just offering some regular shit, you know what I mean, when she came up to me. But, you know.
What'd you say, Jess?
And then he was cool. No, he was, and that's the thing. He'd be talking all smooth and shit, you know. And I'm like.
That's Chico, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he ain't tried. He don't ever try.
I can't.
Like, I'm just saying. And then by the time I actually really did break up with Chris, this was my ex-boyfriend, the first Chris. By the time I did break up with him, I had already
Chris.
But this one Mexican with locks, and he got a job, and he take care of everything, so this is good.
Okay.
And so, you know, by time the time
out. First
I
of all,
really,
he's Mexican and black.
Mexican,
he always leave out the and
Mexican
black
with locks. Like, what the fuck type of nigga is this? Fucking, what is he Mexican with locks? Like, where did you find this nigga?
Right.
She goes like, is he
a Jamaican? Like, what?
Can't tell you.
What in the world?
He's the only one out here like that. So I got a unicorn. But look, right by the time I got rid of Chris for real, I had already got to know him.
Right.
Like, and we was cool.
We was super
like,
cool.
Man,
like,
and got close. And I was just like, damn.
It ain't worth fucking up. You know what I mean?
Then I had to go back and tell everybody. I was like, yo, he not gay.
He just didn't want me,
and I wasn't feeling the fact that he will never settle down with nobody.
All the time. Nope. That women, all the time. I get that. It's two things that happen to me all the time because of my perspective. One is, you gay. He got
to
be gay.
Happened to Charlamagne too all the time.
I mean, that's because of Michael Kors bags. But one is he gay, and then the other one, I'm always relegated to loneliness. Like, oh, you gonna die alone. You gonna be alone. You gonna who deal with that? And it's crazy because, like, the fact that unless you know, for me, the arrogance of a woman is complete. The ego, the female ego, is way more treacherous than the male ego because we only get to operate an ego in very slim situations. Outside of that, it's very little that we get to operate egotistically on. You know what I'm saying? And it's like. The fact that a woman can tell you what's going to happen in your future based off of the fact that your narrative don't match the one that she has in her mind for you is crazy. You know what I mean? That's like me telling somebody that, oh, well, I don't think you should have a blue jacket on. So that means something going to happen to you because in my mind, niggas that wear blue jackets get something done to them every day.
Because when they were in LA, though.
I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Like, all of that is... Mm-hmm. it could be true. I'm not, that's the reason why I use that analogy, yeah, because it's not necessarily that it couldn't happen, mm-hmm, but the fact that you immediately think it's going to happen because you see me in a way that you never heard about nobody talk before. And that's the thing about the truth. Every woman that I've encountered, you meet anybody, they say they want a man to keep it 100, but until you run into one, you don't know what that looks like.
Right.
And, you know, like Jess just said, she ran into me and thought I was gay, yeah, because it's like, wait a minute, I can't do it, baby girl. You got this boyfriend.
Right.
And I know that if you get to fucking with me, you're not going to like this nigga the same no more.
Yeah.
You're
small
not.
Small backs can't and, take rejection.
And he was oh, please.
Wait
just
a minute.
Shut it up.
Like, look, you just, listen,
but,
man.
And then another thing that he had said, which I respect, and I could respect it later on, because, I mean, I was young. We was young, you feel me? But he just always been so sure of himself and who he is and all of that, matured way earlier than a lot of people I know. Mm-hmm. He was so focused on his daughter. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, she was younger, like way younger back then. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, I don't bring people around my daughter. I don't, like, you will never get that. Like, I'm focused on raising my girl right now. You know what I'm saying? So other than him just not wanting to settle down with nobody, he had a mission to be a dad, and he just didn't want the two to bleed. Like, yeah, no, and you're right, not going to be the only female, because I'm not trying to settle down. I'm not going to be with one person.
People be mad when a man got a checklist. When a woman got a checklist, it's fine.
Yeah, because our checklist has been the same since the beginning of time. Pussy. Yeah. That's the only thing on our list.
That is not true.
What else? Give me a couple things on the list.
Emotional intelligence. You know what I'm saying? Somebody that is going to really be with you through thick and thin. I don't like the term ride or die.
Okay, but when did you develop into this mentality? Before or after
mental
buying
health,
the Michael Kors purses?
Like,
no,
I've literally always felt like that. Only because I saw how my father's situation ended up when he didn't do right by my mom. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I've always been the person that wanted to be with one woman. Now, did I always stick to that script? No.
Yeah, so.
But from early on, that's why me and my wife been together 26 years.
I mean, yeah, it's a long time.
And how many of those years did you cheat?
Not a lot.
Don't answer it.
Not a lot.
No, not really.
But
a lot.
You have.
Yeah.
A lot.
Absolutely.
I've made mistakes.
You made mistakes. Okay. But that's the thing. Like, that's another part that's difficult about the relationship standard or the way that the rules are set up. You know what I mean? Because to me, the value of a man is based on things that we know we don't get no credit for. Like, I use that example all the time. Like, you know what I mean? It's very difficult to be a man while also being emotionally available because of the responsibility that comes with being a man that you got to face in the world. So if you've been a good nigga for 10 years and you fuck up on the 10th year in the first date, does that now negate the 10 years of positive work that I've put in?
That's real.
You know what I mean? But I understand it from a feminine aspect as well, because, you know, you have to accept the fact that this woman now has realized that everything that she's been dedicating herself to is a lie, in a sense, because you broke a promise that you stood in front of a pastor and listened to Brian McKnight songs and said you would never do. So you got to understand it's difficult for them. But the part for me that I don't understand is that how women, you know, in certain aspects act like they don't understand a man lying when they lie better than we ever could. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit.
Absolutely.
The craziest part is I'll never be able to lie to you in the way that you lie to yourself. So, you know.
You think women lie better than men, Jess?
Absolutely. I've said that. I've lied plenty of times, never got caught.
And you never will. And they never will because of they never will. They never will. And this is the good part about being who I am. When you tell the truth to a woman, they'll tell the truth to you. Mind you, Jess, I'm able to have a conversation with her in a manner that most men probably can't, because they scared that if they say something, that's going to fuck their chance up getting some pussy. I'm not worried about that. So now we can have a dialogue where she giving me game from a perspective that most men don't get, because she know I ain't got no dog in the fight.
Right.
So you get to see how good they lie. Like, women lie on a different level because they know us better than we know ourselves emotionally. So they got a vantage point into you as a man, to where they know how to play. Women deal off a man's ego, where she'll build it all the way up to the sky. Just so whenever you act like you ain't got no sense, get over here, nigga.
Take it down.
Bring it on down, because now I'm in control of how you see me. And niggas be so worried about the bullshit that they get ready running, dude. You ain't even looking at this woman and how she operate and what she got going on and the things that she's saying. So they get away with it. The reason why men are called dogs more is because we get caught.
Yeah, we get caught fucking in front of everybody.
Yeah, we get caught fucking in front of everybody.
You've never seen two cats fucking.
Exactly, and you never will.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Not in public, at least. They get away with it, so.
I tell you one thing, boy. You're going to have every woman right now, this woman putting on Vaseline, tying their hair up, just to run to the comments and fight your ass.
I mean, that happens all the time, man. I'm not. It happens, man. I get it, you know, and I understand. I had these conversations all the time. This is not something that I just talk about frivolously. Like, this is my life. I live like this. But I also hope that women can understand that there are men out here who stand on principle and protocol and have no desire to get whatever it is you trying to give that's of value to you. Like, I'm me regardless of whether you like me or not. I can care less who likes me. I know who loves me, and that's all that matter. So I'm not, you know, being malicious in my sentiment. This is really who I am. And I feel like being honest is me giving you a choice to know what you're about to be dedicating your time to, because you can't get none of that back.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Time is the most valuable asset we have. So if I take your time away from you pretending to be a nigga that I'm not, then you going to hate me for it. But you can respect me if I tell you the truth in the beginning. It might hurt you in the beginning. You might not like me. But down the line, once you get to running into them niggas that's full of shit, you're going to look back and be like, well, I did know one motherfucker who kept it real with me, you know what I mean? And that's a value, because like you said, I got a daughter and I understand the sins of the father. I can't put that energy out into the world knowing my daughter Gray go out here and be fucking around with niggas, because I got to teach her how to cheat in that regard. I got to tell her the things that look for. And if I'm her father out here doing things to women, that I can't think that that's not going to affect my baby.
Right.
And the reason, a big reason is why I'm like this, is because I saw the way that men dealt with my mother.
Right.
So no nigga kept it real with my mama. So how could I be out here seeing that she went through all of this bullshit, and then I go out here and do the same thing to somebody else's mama?
I think anytime you take away somebody's power or choice, that's criminal. So you giving them a choice.
Did you give the ladies a choice to whether or not they wanted a Michael Kors or a Coach bag?
Yeah, I don't know. I ain't giving no choice.
No, I asked them. That's what they wanted.
No. No. Ain't no. See, that plays to the type of woman that it was. Ain't nobody. A nigga never asked me, what you want? And I said, Michael Kors.
Right. Like, ever.
What?
At no point in life.
No.
Jess, no point in life did you ever want a Michael Kors bag.
Mm-hmm. He was fishing in the wrong pond.
No, you know what pond he was fishing in. Mm-hmm. That nigga was at the Dwayne. Wayne Reed,
Jesus Christ.
Every night, messing with the night shift, acting like, hey, yo, I need the key to unlock the soap. So what's your name?
Yeah. You on the radio every morning, too?
On the radio every morning? Yeah, you know. I'm going out to the Tanga Outlets this weekend. You want to ride with me? You want me to pick you up, son?
You ain't never buy Louis for nobody. Not even Gucci.
Oh, no, that's cheating.
That's cheating.
Hell, that's cheating. No. Oh, so I mean, the wife get the Louis.
Goddamn, what?
And then everybody else get the Michael Kors bag.
Come on, man. That's disrespectful.
Mm. That's crazy, man.
The limousine, disrespectful.
Stan. This nigga Stan from Martin in real life, man.
Don't ever pull up with no limousine.
That's crazy, man.
All right.
Chico, we appreciate you for joining us, brother.
Y'all go trying to get rid of a nigga again.
Chico, give me that hour, Chico. Chico!
Salute to the lovely, voluptuous women of the world. And make sure.
Voluptuous is a better word. I told you, the voluptuous women of the world.
Yeah. And all the way, yeah, all the voluptuous women, make sure you get your tickets to the We Them Ones tour.
That's right.
We're coming to a city near you, man. Myself, DC Young Fly, Carlos Miller, D. Ray Davis, Lil Duval, Mojo Brooks, Moneybag Mafia, hosted by Mike Epps. It's one of the dopest shows you're gonna see. It's amazing. You get all different types of perspective, all different types of comedy, all different types of energy, all on one show. And it's showing love amongst comedians in a time of, you know, in tumultuous times amongst comedians. So I think this is, you know, perfect timing. You know, I always talk about the outlier, the book Outliers, and the timing of everything. So this tour is happening at the perfect time, because the climate is so opposite of what we're actually doing on this tour, man. So make sure you get your tickets to come out. We're going to have Charlamagne at the next show giving out Michael Kors bags to all of the ladies out there that need a Michael. So if you want a Michael Kors bag, send your email to this computer he got right here. What's it called?
A ThinkPad.
It to the ThinkPad, man, so we can get you a Michael Kors in the next We Done One show.
The only thing I'm giving out this spring and summer is gift cards to Planet Fitness, 24-Hour Fitness, Gold's Gym. We're going to have an Unbig Your Back campaign for the spring and the summer. That's what we're doing.
Man, that lady going to beat the dog shit out of
you. I ain't talking about her.
That's why I say this nigga is the ultimate troll, man.
I am not.
There is nobody in the history of entertainment who has trolled on the level of Charlamagne the God, man. This nigga is a grade A troll, man. The trolling that he does is immaculate.
You keep
talking about this lady like you not talking. You seen this lady say that you hurt her
feelings.
All
you gotta do is rewind the tape, and you heard me talk about the Unbig Your Back campaign way before this happened. I've been talking about this for the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. I've been saying how I want to do that for the spring and summer, the Unbig Your Back campaign, where we get gift cards to all of these different gyms and give them to people.
Mm-hmm. Nigga can change his skin and just think everybody is just capable of making those types of transitions.
Let's give it a try.
I mean, listen,
give me a little incentive to try.
You know what I mean? You gotta. It's more difficult than that, man. You know what I mean? You gotta stop. It's not just the gym. It's the eating.
That's the part that makes people.
You gotta understand. You gotta not go to the kitchen at 2 o'clock in the morning and get another cookie.
That's the hard part.
And then go back to sleep. So the gym, you wasting time, man. You need to, you know.
It's not a start, man.
A start would be us getting a list of who you bought them Michael Kors purses for and saying where they at now.
Chico B, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's do a recap. I'm coming back up here. We're going to have me and you, we're going to interview the ladies of the Michael, you know what I mean? Meet the Michael Kors. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're doing.
All right. It's the Breakfast Club. It's Chico B.
Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.